leading the first part of our service this evening. I'd like you to turn with me now, if you will, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. I must admit that sometimes I find it difficult to get my head around a particular text that I'm supposed to be preaching on at the weekend. And I found these verses particularly difficult to get to grips with. I read all the commentaries on 1 Corinthians on my shelf, as well as listened to two sermons, and I still didn't really know quite how I was going to preach on these verses this evening. Well, when you're struggling like that, you do tend to pray earnestly to God for his help. And it wasn't long after I'd prayed, actually, that I came across two sermons on these verses by John Piper. And I found them extremely helpful. And I must acknowledge this evening that I have leaned heavily on him and am indebted to him. I felt that I ought to acknowledge that publicly. You can go and listen to his two sermons online if you would like to. But let's read from verse 19. We'll pick up from where we left off last Sunday evening. But the verses that we're focusing on are 23 to 27. 23 to 27. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, I don't know whether you've worked out why I have found it so difficult to get to grips with these verses this week, but it's basically because on the surface it seems to contradict everything that we have just sung in that lovely hymn. Does anybody know where the next Summer Olympics are to be held? No, the answer is Tokyo, Japan. And of course, the Olympic Games are massive. I think I'm right in saying that it's the largest sporting event on the face of the planet. And as we know, there will be thousands of athletes that will make their way to Japan in order to compete against the very best. And every athlete hopes to do well. Indeed, every athlete would love to win a medal, particularly the gold medal. That is the ultimate prize. And of course, when an athlete wins gold at the Olympic Games, his or her life is never the same again, is it? They become instantly famous, in their own country. Well, the Corinthians were all too familiar with such large sporting events. The Olympic Games took place in Greece every 4 years. It did so from 776 BC to AD 393. And if one has got the maths right, that's a span of 1,169 years. And then in Corinth, or just outside Corinth, there were the Isthmian Games, which attracted thousands of visitors every year and was second to the Olympic Games. And therefore, when Paul wrote verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" he knew exactly what the Corinthian response would be. Yes, we know all about running. Now, in these verses that we're looking at tonight, we see that they are full of metaphors. Paul talks about running, but he's really talking about running the Christian race. He talks about fighting, but he's really talking about the good fight of faith. He talks about winning a crown, winning a prize. And this is where our focus is going to be this evening. In a few weeks' time, God willing, we'll come back to these verses and we'll give thought as to how we are to run and how we are to box. But tonight we're thinking all about the crown, the prize. So then, what is the prize for running and boxing well? What is the crown awarded to the victors? What is at stake here? Well, there are four things that are at stake, and you can see those in your weekly news sheet because I've noted them there for you. Firstly, what is at stake for running well and boxing well? Becoming a sharer in the gospel's blessings. Verse 23. We're going back to verse 23 this evening. "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." What are the promises of the gospel? A glorious future in heaven with God. So Paul does all that he does, seeking to be all things to all men, endeavouring to live a holy life, preaching the gospel with a view to seeing sinners being saved, in order that he might share in the blessings of the gospel. Now this sounds like salvation by works, doesn't it? It sounds like salvation by means of human effort. And that is why this evening I'm going to be as careful as I possibly can so as not to cause any confusion in your minds. Please don't walk out of the building if you think I'm committing heresy at this particular point. Give me a chance. Hear me out. I remember preaching a sermon some years ago in a church, and there was a lady at the back, and she expressed her disapproval. She didn't like what I said, and I said to her, please just hear me out. So thankfully, she was willing to hear me out, and well, by the time I preached my sermon, I don't think there were any disagreements. But we'll see what happens here tonight. Friends, we must run the race that has been set before us. We must fight the good fight of faith. Why? In order to receive the gospel's blessings. You say, really? Is this the case? And I would respond by saying yes. And please, please listen really carefully at this point. We must run the race and fight the good fight of faith, because by doing so, we give evidence of our living relationship to Christ. We give evidence of having experienced God's saving grace, of having been born again into a new and living hope. Running and boxing with intent give evidence of God being at work in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. We must run and cross the finishing line. We must box until the final bell goes. We must persevere in the Christian life so as to give evidence that God has been at work in our lives and has saved us and given us His Holy Spirit. What is at stake? Becoming a sharer in the gospel's blessings. But secondly, not being disqualified. Look at verse 27. "No," says Paul, "I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, is Paul saying that we must run and fight and not give up? Or else we will be disqualified from obtaining the prize, that is, the prize of heaven? I think he is. There's another place in the New Testament where Paul uses this Greek word translated disqualified in the NIV. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And this is what we read there. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" This is the way that the NIV puts it, but other translations finish by using different words. "Unless indeed you are reprobates. Unless indeed you are unqualified or disqualified." It's the same word that we find here in verse 27. At the Greek games, there was a herald who announced the rules of the contest, the names of the contestants, and the names of the winners and what city or town they came from. But the herald also had the responsibility of disqualifying contestants. I seem to remember some years ago that Paula Radcliffe entered herself into a long race within the stadium. And she got a certain way along the track, a certain distance along the track, and she decided that she wasn't going to run anymore. She'd had enough. And so she stepped off the track. And of course, the moment she stepped off the track, with no intention to stay in the race, she effectively disqualified herself. Now, friends, if Paul stops running and exits the race, or if he stops fighting the fight of faith, if he just gives in to a life of sin and abandons Christ and the gospel, he believes that he will be disqualified and that he will meet with God's judgment instead of God's great reward. He believes that he must keep running and fighting. But having said that, let me be quick to say this. As we look at these verses, does it look as if Paul's ready to quit? Does it look as if Paul's ready to throw in the towel? No. In verse 26, he says that he doesn't run like a man running aimlessly. No, he has his eyes fixed upon the goal, and he's going to keep running until he reaches the goal. He runs with zeal. This is what he writes at the end of his life to the church in Philippi. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. He's running for all his worth. He's fighting the fight of faith every single day. He's struggling with sin, seeking to put to death the misdeeds of the body. He's endeavouring to be as holy as he possibly can. No one could accuse him of doing otherwise. He's not about to quit. Now, having said that, we ought to probably say that there were times in his life when he slowed down in the race, times when he tripped or stumbled, times perhaps when he stopped, times perhaps even when he went backwards temporarily. You see, this man is not perfect. This man is a sinner just like you and I. What did he say in Philippians in chapter 3? Not that I have already attained and been made perfect. We tend to look at Paul and think that he's some kind of super saint, but he had his failings. He had his difficult days as well. He's not running the perfect race through life, but he is endeavouring to keep on. He is pressing on. He is engaged in the daily battle. He is giving evidence that God, by his grace, has called him heavenwards. Oh, he's running his race. He's fighting his fight. But the question is, how are the Corinthians doing? How's their fight going? How's their race going? See, Paul is concerned about their ongoing involvement in idolatry and sexual immorality, as well as other sins. Will they continue to willfully engage in these things apart from repentance? Is there going to come a day when they opt out of the race or the fight? I think he's warning to run and to fight in order to avoid disqualification is real. And there may be the temptation on the part of some commentators or even some preachers to lessen the force of Paul's warning here. But I don't think we should do that. Let me quote a man named Gordon Fee at this point. I think he's really helpful. I've certainly found him helpful. He says this: Paul keeps warning and assurance, he's talking about assurance of salvation, in tension. Simultaneously, he exhorts and by this and the following examples, warns the Corinthians of their imminent danger if they do not exercise self-control in the matter of idolatry. Yet, as always, he reminds them of their security in the prior activity of God who committed himself to them in Jesus Christ. And as I read the New Testament, it seems to me that there is this tension in Scripture. That when God saves, he keeps. But there is also this warning. That one who enters into the race must continue into the race until one reaches the finishing line. One must run. One must fight and not give up. Thirdly, what is at stake? Well, it is the prize of heaven.
Look at verse 24. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Though we recognize that everyone who runs in the Christian race and reaches their goal obtains the prize. It's different to those who run in the Olympic Games. Now, there's quite a bit of overlap, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, as we're looking at these different headings. So I don't want to say too much under this heading. But here is Paul, and he's exhorting the Corinthians to run, and to run well, and to make sure they cross the finishing line in order to obtain the prize. And I fear that too many Christians today don't see the importance of running and fighting. The running and fighting that is stressed in these verses. They don't always appreciate what is at stake. They are sometimes in danger of assuming that because they filled in a card at an evangelistic meeting, or said a prayer, or told someone that they had committed their way to Jesus, that everything will be okay. Regardless of how they live their lives. Sometimes I fear that there are some who have professed to be Christians that are rather like the person that is sitting by the side of the track. Just taking life easy. No thought or regard for God and His will for their lives. No concern to fight daily against sin. As if sin didn't matter. But these things do matter. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans. "If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." In other words, what Paul is saying there, I think, is that if one lives a life of continual and willful sin, what hope can one have that one has been born again and is a child of God? See, those who are born again, those who have been given the Spirit, are those that are concerned to run. They are those who are concerned by the Spirit's power to put to death the misdeeds of the body. What else is at stake? Well, fourthly, the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Verse 25. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." In the Greek games, the athletes ran in order to win a wreath. It was usually made of pine leaves or something similar. Though, to be fair, they weren't simply after the wreath. They were after the honour and prestige that went with receiving it. One became an instant hero by winning one of the races. The trouble with such a wreath was that it was perishable. I don't know how long it would have lasted, but perhaps not that many weeks before it was fit for the compost heap. Moreover, the fame wouldn't have lasted. I don't suppose anybody here knows a single person that would have been involved in those games just outside Corinth, let alone one of the victors. But to those who go into strict training and run and box with intent, there is a crown that will last forever. And elsewhere in Scripture, it is called the crown of righteousness. Paul writes to Timothy saying this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now,
now that I've fought the good fight, now that I've run the race, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. What exactly is this crown? This crown of righteousness? Well, it's a crown that fits us for heaven. It's the righteousness, it's the perfection, or the Christ-likeness that we so desire now as Christians, that will enable us to serve and glorify God as we ought. You know, there's coming a day after we've run our race, after we've fought our fight of faith, when we will be given this wonderful crown. And in the book of Revelation, there is a lovely picture of all God's people casting their crowns before him. And I think it's a lovely picture of all the redeemed offering their perfect worship and service to God and to the Lamb, who is so worthy of such honour. Friends, I would argue from these verses this evening that our running and fighting is a serious business where the stakes are high. Indeed, as high as one could imagine. We must continue to run until we cross the finishing line. We must continue to fight until the final bell, as it were, is rung. Having done so, won't it be worth it? Think of all the athletes that ran during the Olympic Games and won. Oh, how pleased they were with a wreath that would one day perish. Well, we will receive an imperishable crown. Oh, how much more determined then we ought to be to want to run for Jesus and to fight the good fight of faith. I want to finish this evening with a few quotes from John Piper. He says this, and I think he puts it much better than I can. He says, the race of life has eternal consequences, not because we are saved by works, but because Christ has saved us from dead works to serve the living and true God with Olympic passion. The race of life has eternal consequences, not because grace is nullified by the way we run, but because grace is verified by the way we run. He quotes Paul, who says this, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored, I ran, I fought more exceedingly than all. Yet it was not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Piper goes on to conclude, Paul's running did not nullify the purpose of grace. It verified the power grace. And lastly, he says, eternal life hangs on the way we run and the way we fight, not because salvation is based on the merit of works, but because faith without works is dead. Life is a proving ground for whether faith is alive or dead, a proving ground for whom we trust. Therefore, this evening, we are exhorted from God's word to run with perseverance until we reach our goal, to fight the good fight of faith until that final bell rings. As we do so, we will give evidence of a prior work of God's grace in our lives. More than that, we will give evidence that God is very much at work in our lives.
saves, bringing us to final salvation. Let's not give up. Let's keep on running in order that we might enjoy one day all that God has in store for us. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray as we finish, but you're going to pray along with me. We're not going to sing a final hymn. We are going to use a hymn in order to